You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Is the subject of an investigative report into his harem of baby mamas. The Wall Street Journal, of all places, published a bonkers account of Musk's efforts to seed the world in his own image. The story said he's been using his social media platform to recruit women to carry his children, and then he buys their silence with multi-million dollar non-disclosure agreements. Who said romance is dead, you know? It is believed that Elon has fathered at least 14 children, and based on this photograph, he may have given birth to them, too. He's carrying a few around in his pouch like a kangaroo. Sources told the Journal they believe there could be more mini Musks out there, many more mini Musks. You've heard of Alien versus Predator? Elon might be both of them. He has stated in the past that he believes declining birth rates are the greatest threat to humanity, which I'm not sure what planet Elon lives on. This one seems full to me. You ever go to Costco on a Saturday? Musk reportedly told one woman when she was pregnant with his child that he needed to start making babies with other women, too. He sent her a text that said, "To reach Legion level before the apocalypse, we will need to use surrogates." He even texts like a supervillain. He's sex Luther. But it is kind of sweet, I guess. Elon loves babies. I mean, he spent $300 million to get one elected president. He loves them so much. Thank you.
It's Jimmy Kimmel. 7 minutes past the hour. It's John and Gordy in the morning. John Peterson, Gordy Young, producer Sam, pushing the buttons, flipping the switches. And it's cloudy, a little light rain at times today, off and on. Temperatures will be falling from highs in the mid-50s this morning into the 40s this afternoon. John, good morning.
Well, good morning to you.
Happy Easter day after.
That's right, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I saw a clip on X of Trump standing next to a giant bunny. Did you see this thing?
I think it was
last year, wasn't it?
I think it was from the previous term.
Okay, yeah. The previous term.
Yeah. But yeah. I think today is the day they have the egg roll on the...
It is today.
The kiddies' day, yep. At the White House.
I know in that speech, he was there with Melania.
Oh.
And this gigantic Easter bunny guy standing next to him. And he was talking about a fundraiser that they had in order to maintain the White House, you know, fix
right.
it up and make it look beautiful again.
Right.
And he mentioned the White House initially, but then later on he says this place.
This building.
This
place. Yeah, he couldn't think of the name.
He couldn't think of the
name.
Yeah. It was so ridiculous. Yeah. All right, well, while we're on this subject of Trump, you know, he had a very special Easter message for everybody. Every holiday he has the same, very similar Easter message to everyone out there.
Very heartwarming.
And he likes to include almost everyone in his messages. So why don't we listen to a little Easter Beagle Charlie Brown here.
Okay, sure.
Happy Easter to all, including the radical left lunatics who are fighting and scheming so hard to bring murderers, drug lords, dangerous prisoners, the mentally insane and well-known MS-13 gang members and wife beaters back to our country. Happy Easter also to the weak and ineffective judges and law enforcement officials who are allowing this sinister attack on our nation to continue.
What is that noise?
An attack so violent that it will never be forgotten. Sleepy Joe Biden purposely allowed millions of criminals to enter our country totally unvetted and unchecked through an open borders policy that will go down in history as the single most calamitous act ever perpetrated upon America. He was, by far, our worst and most incompetent president, he says. A man who had absolutely no idea what he was doing.
I think he's projecting.
I think so.
Okay.
But to him, and he continues here in his message, but to him and to the person that ran and manipulated the auto pen, perhaps a real president, and to all the people who cheated in the 2020 presidential election in order to get this highly destructive moron elected, I wish you, with great love, sincerity, and affection, a very happy Easter.
That's from Donald J. Trump, yes. your president.
I was in tears after I read this. I thought, God, that's so heartwarming. It's probably the warmest message I've ever seen from him so far.
Boy, it's just
there's nothing wrong
sick.
With him, is there?
He's just sad.
Wow.
It's falling apart right before our eyes.
Oh, my God.
I think.
All right.
Okay. It's 11 minutes past the hour. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning, by the way, is brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress. Wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958, but some things remain constant, John.
like his messages, holiday messages to everybody.
That's right. Throughout Verlo's history, they're still direct to consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east and west. Go to Verlo.com and find out about their lifetime comfort guarantee.
You know, we're trying to get Abrego Garcia back, of course, and it's a big deal. And a conservative judge, yes. This is a conservative judge.
Yes.
He warned the administration that there is such a thing called due process. And I just want to play this report in regards to what that judge's message was. And this is 209, all right? Let's listen to this particular judge.
What that court is saying is that it appears the administration is doing nothing to facilitate Abrego Garcia's return, and the way that they are behaving in this case appears to signal a crumbling of American democracy. Mm. Judge J. Harvey Wilkinson, one of the longest serving appellate judges in the United States, a renowned conservative judge, he wrote 7 pages yesterday about this, imploring the executive branch to listen to the courts, to uphold the rule of law, and to follow the Constitution in a way that preserves American democracy before it is too late. He writes, while there is still time. This is more of what the judge wrote in his order. If today the executive claims the right to deport without due process and in disregard of court orders, what assurance will there be tomorrow that it will not deport American citizens and then disclaim responsibility to bring them home? And what assurance shall there be that the executive will not train its broad discretionary powers upon its political enemies? This is the starkest warning that we have ever seen, really, from a federal appellate court.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the Supreme Court gave him immunity.
Yes.
And it was all based on the fact, this was presented in court and we all laughed. And the same presentation was given to the Supreme Court and they didn't laugh. And they said, if you're going to kill your enemies, your opponents, that's okay. You have immunity if it's an official act. Wow. So this judge is saying, shouldn't be like that.
No, it shouldn't.
Because
he can just claim anything's an official act.
He can, and he probably will. And again, he'll probably take it out on American citizens, all my mega friends out there, especially the one in Milwaukee. They haven't noticed any of this. They're still, talking about all the side stuff that Fox throws out there and sticks to the wall of insanity. But anyway, they're following that. They're not actually following what's going on with the administration and how they're destroying the country and are willing and able probably very soon to deport American citizens to El Salvador.
Well, right? We don't know what they're up. That's the scary part, is it could still be happening every day.
It could be.
And people are still receiving letters saying, you can leave the country. You've got 24 hours or whatever deadline they put on it. Yes, it's ongoing. And it's scary.
It is. Now, we were talking about Pete Hegseth earlier. This story kind of hit the fan, and the Daily Show took a look at it. This is about the book ban that they put in place. Why don't we listen to this particular story? It's pretty unsettling to know that this is happening in a free country where we have something called the First Amendment. Let's listen to this.
Pete Hegseth, defense secretary, and guy whose tattoos are somehow embarrassed by him, just scored another victory in his war on thinking.
The Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs has been ordered to purge its library of books related to diversity, equity, and inclusion, along with some topics related to race and gender. The Naval Academy Library tossed out nearly 400 books, including titles on feminism, civil rights history, and the Holocaust. Speaking of, at the Naval Academy, Hitler's Mein Kampf made the cut and is still available to read.
Yeah,
okay.
That's where you draw the line? Like, yeah, I don't want one of those woke social justice books. I'm looking for more of a beach read. Do you have Mein Kampf? Anyway, this whole anti-DEI thing is getting out of control. They're pulling books about minorities out of schools, scrubbing stories about women and gay people from websites, and Disney can't even put out a new Snow White without people trying to deport her. And that's just the beginning. To take advantage of this shift in the culture war, the White House has just launched its own streaming service.
Hey, movie fans! Do you wish your favorite films had less DEI? Introducing the White Tyrion Collection, a new home video service from the Trump administration. Get ready for 12 years of what have you, Marvel's Panther, and Really Hidden Figures.
Psst, they're behind the armoire.
And Brokeback Mountain, the inspiring story of two Wyoming cowboys who herded cattle and nothing else. And hey, sports fans, we've got all your favorite films from the gridiron and the court, like White Men Can Jump the Best, Remember That One Titan, and Cool Runnings, the inspiring true story of an Olympic bobsled with no one in it. And of course, who can forget Disney's Encanto? You can. It doesn't exist anymore. Get your favorite Trump-approved movies from the White Tyrion Collection today. And act now, because watching the originals will soon be considered domestic terrorism.
That's pretty wild stuff.
That says it all.
Yeah. And it's a takeoff on Criterion Collection of movies that were redone or reformatted, I believe, restored. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, restored.
What did they call it? The White Tyrion Collection?
Yeah, White Tyrion Collection. Why not, right? And it's amazing. You know, we've gone from CRT, which was the vilified acronym, to DEI, which suddenly, was like CRT on steroids, where it encompasses everything and anything the MAGAs don't like. So this DEI thing is just insane. I mean, they can blame everything with DEI, everything,
yes,
and they already have.
Yes.
They already have done that. So it's pretty insane, really. Mm-hmm. All right.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be talking with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin and get his take on whatever he wants to talk about, and there's plenty to talk about.
I'd like to talk to him about, you know, what he does in his free time and, you know.
How he's coming along with the book,
I think
that's making progress. It's 18 minutes past the hour, and when we come back, we'll check in with Chief Meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
And Cosmo Med.
Oh, yes. Well,
let's get to that story.
Okay.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
...721 WMDX with John and Gordy. Producer Sam along for the ride, pushing those buttons and switches. And also, it's time for us to check in with Brittany Merlot, our WMDX Chief Meteorologist. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going okay, good. But it's kind of cloudy, and we had some rain overnight and some gusty winds, and now it's just kind of cloudy again.
You're forgetting I put grass seed down on the lawn.
So how did that go?
I guess it goes well.
Can you see it anymore?
It's raining, and it's starting to grow.
Yeah. Oh, already.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes.
Yeah. I bet you whenever you're out of the house, the birds are just going to town on it.
Big flock.
Whenever you're not looking.
I know. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
Has the gazebo made it? Did it make it through the wind
yesterday? Gazebo's doing just fine. I have it tied down. It's kind of funny. It serves two purposes, though. If anybody tries to sneak into my backyard, they're going to get decapitated by the guy wires that you can hardly see. I've almost done that a couple of times myself, run right into him. So I've got it tied down all different kinds of ways.
Wow, yeah, that's so pretty.
It's a little bit of a booby trap. Yeah, yeah. But some fun for the neighbors.
Typical
if they come
Gordy
over.
Security around the house.
That's right. Anyway.
Home Alone style. That's
yes,
what
that's your
of.
Home Alone
that's
style.
It. So
yes.
How was your Easter, Brittany? You have a good
Oh, it was fantastic. Went down south. So I was driving in those crazy winds back home yesterday. It was just blowing the Jeep all around. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And the heavy rainfall, too. But we needed it. I mean, that pulled the state out of a drought, essentially. So that is good news.
Good.
And then, you know, we've got more on the way. So it's really going to green things up by the time we get to this weekend. So today, the winds are not going anywhere. We're still looking at gusts up to 40 miles per hour, but it's keeping us warmer than the northern part of the state. We'll hit highs today of about 50 degrees, while up north it's snowing. It is snowing in Superior. Yes.
Oh.
Can you believe it?
Oh, that's awful. Yeah, that's awful.
Way up north.
Yeah.
Like how way up north.
How far? Yeah. Okay.
I would say it's going down from Superior to Eau Claire. It's just by Wausau, but I haven't seen it just yet. But our temperatures are pretty close to allowing it. But yeah, up north, the Northwoods, it's still flying around up there. And if you've seen pictures of like the UP or Hurley, you still got a bunch of snow on the ground.
No, we should. Skiing. We should.
So what can we expect the rest of this week?
We're actually warming things up. Tomorrow we'll hit highs of about 60 degrees. We do have chances of showers both in the morning and then more at night. And then Wednesday, we've got a lot of sunshine and then highs hitting 70 degrees both Wednesday and Thursday.
Wow.
And then the clouds start to clear. We'll have a beautiful, bright weekend with a ton of sunshine, but we get cooler into those low to mid 60s.
That is cold.
Not bad. No.
So still kind of windy today and then...
Then we calm things down tomorrow. Yep.
Okay,
and
good.
We'll just have some scattered showers here and there. Nothing washout, not like we saw this past week and over the weekend. So
okay. Good enough. Well, very good, Brittany. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Brittany, I wish you could listen to the next story. It's an interesting one. Cosmopolitan magazine writer Vera Pasasova. She spent a year only dating far-right men.
Really?
Ooh, okay.
For her article for Cosmopolitan. So I thought this is pretty crazy stuff. You know? You want to hear it?
I do.
Okay, let's listen to this. All right.
They speak liberal. They have liberal friends. And then they go online and they are a white supremacist.
This is Vera Pasasova. She spent the last year dating far-right men in New York City for a story for Cosmopolitan magazine.
They're the most insecure men I've ever sat down with. It was really difficult to have some of these dates because they were so insecure, because they don't really know who they are and they don't know how to figure that out.
She said the men she dated got all their news and information from the so-called manosphere.
They did not listen to anything else. They're only listening to independent media and they're only listening to men talking to men.
The manosphere is made up of macho podcasters and influencers.
There's no such thing as an independent female.
Most women have zero concept of like money.
Females don't have independent thought.
It's a space where UFC fighters are among those who reign supreme.
They love the UFC guys. They love the MMA guys because those guys do what they can. They're modern gladiators. They're badass.
Badass like Jake Shields, a former UFC star turned podcaster. Like other podcasters in the manosphere, Jake regularly hosts controversial guests.
I named the podcast Fighting Back. I feel like we have to fight back what we're told we're allowed to do. I just don't like to be told you're not allowed to talk to this person.
He's hosted the former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan.
Today I have a very, very special guest, Dr. David Duke.
And Thomas Russo, the leader of the white supremacist group, Patriot Front.
Let's hit race, because you're a white-only group?
So the organization only allows people of American ethnicity, and all Americans, I believe, come from Europe, so they're white.
But Vera says hate isn't what the men she dated.
One of these guys brought me to a political meeting.
And did they talk about politics?
Barely. They talked about, it was a bunch of men complaining about girlfriends and wives, regurgitating Andrew Tate type of advice about how to train your girlfriend how to train your wife to be submissive. And so this group was supposed to be a political group, but they're talking about relationship problems. Yikes. And the fact that that's what most of the time was spent on, you don't need to be a neo-Nazi. You need therapy.
The appeal of Jake's podcast speaks to a need among young men in this country that Vera says can't be ignored.
The thing about these guys is their biggest support system is online, but that also is very isolating, and isolation is what breeds hatred.
Groups like Patriot Front offer community, but community based on racism and hate.
There you go. Pretty wild stuff, isn't it?
Any comments there, Brittany?
Yeah, what do you think?
I feel bad for her. Yeah. I feel so bad for her. A whole year of this? No way. I couldn't. I would snap.
Wow. Well,
now, have you ever been surprised that somebody you met might be on a conservative level?
You know, kind of personal, funny, wild story. I was with someone for about 8 years, and then they kind of got trapped into that social media thing that was going on, and
really
turned completely 180. Yep. So I've been there. Yep.
I think it's so strange that they actually think that people are trying to tell them what to say and do. You know, no one's doing that. You know, it's in their heads. It's their imagination. They're creating this, in order to act the way they want to act, I guess. But anyway, pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, well, Brittany. You know, she did this for Cosmopolitan.
So. Yes, that's right.
For 1 year.
She did it for the article. Soul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Brittany, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Another update from you. And it is 7:29. Coming up next, we'll be checking in with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin.
John and Gordy in the Morning, a broadcast institution since 1987. Of course, they've been off the air since 1994. That's what, 30 years? Institution.
I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
She broke her calculator.
I guess so.
Figuring that one out.
It is 7:34.
WMDX 92.7. Mm-hmm. John and Gordy in the Morning, for now anyway.
Yeah, cloudy, rainy. And temperature is going to be dropping from highs in the low to mid-50s this morning into the 40s this afternoon. Joining us now, former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. Good morning, Paul.
Morning.
Yeah.
Windy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange day today, but it's going to be warm, and we're finally getting the temperatures that I've been asking for a long time.
Well, later in the week.
See, we know somebody in the weather, and that's what's helped.
There you go.
Okay. All right. It's who you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, we want to get your input on what's going on at all the universities across the country right now being threatened by the Trump administration to do and say what they want them to say. And the UW hasn't said anything about what they're going to do yet, but we know that Harvard is leading the class on this thing. They're going to challenge the Trump administration. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, simply put, good for Harvard. I jokingly posted the other day an observation I made back in 79 when I was a fellow at Harvard, which is Harvard is, 350 years old. Harvard is older than the government of the United States and in some cases more powerful. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this is one of those instances where it's more powerful. Clearly, academic freedom is at stake here, more seriously than in our lifetimes. The two other instances where this has occurred, one during the Joe McCarthy reign of the late 40s, early 50s, and the second was as we get into the late 60s and early 70s, the anti-war years. Mm-hmm. But universities are very messy places, and they're deliberately designed to be that way, in the sense that you don't have rigid controls over who does what, who says what. Universities, unlike private businesses, for example, you know, a private business, every department, every arm of a private business is aligned with the mission of the company. In universities, every department, and within every department, there's a tremendous amount of autonomy, a tremendous amount of independence. And there's a reason for that, and that is to encourage the research, to encourage the study, the developments and understanding of who and what we are as humans, as a planet. And it affects the sciences, the social sciences, studies in language. I was just reading an article the other day, for example, coincidental with this last being Easter Sunday, about Mary Magdalene and how over the centuries who she was has been interpreted and explained very differently. And to make it very short and not take us too far off the subject here, changes in describing Mary in the 2nd century and in the 6th century probably in part stem from the fact that men were very disturbed by the influence that she had in the church. But in any case, I think it's really critical to understand that not only do we have these immediate threats, which, for example, involve students here who are visas, but this Trump attack on the University of Wisconsin, on Harvard, is going to do everything from thwart development in genetic research, in dealing mm-hmm. with crop disease, in dealing with climate change. I mean, there isn't an aspect of our lives where this isn't going to have an impact.
That's right, almost delayed impact, because, you know, something like this can affect what, you know, is developed in science, the advancement of what we can do to help other people and crops and diseases. All of this is just it's actually just, you know, in Japan, they had like a lost decade. Remember that big story? It seems like we're setting ourselves up for a lost decade as well, because of all these delays, all these cuts that they're making are just going to delay progress in this country for another 10 years.
Well, I think it's a real interesting observation on your part, because one of the advantages of this kind of attack is that the negative impacts won't be seen for 4, 5, 8, 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, in a way, Trump can get away with this until people see and feel the real consequences, whether it's, I mean, the most obvious right now is disease controls in terms of another epidemic, whether it be a variant of COVID or some new disease we've never experienced that through mutation emerges, whether it's in the human population or the animal population. But the long-term consequences of this are really grave. And it's already had long-term consequences by disrupting research work that was already underway. And a point was made last night in one of the television news stories I was watching. These researchers who are determined to make the world a better place, they're going to leave the United States. And so you've got this contradiction where Trump is complaining about the loss of intellectual property to China and other nations. Well, he's driving folks out of this country.
Yeah.
And this research and work will be done elsewhere, hopefully, if we can't roll back his attacks on academic freedom.
That's right.
Yeah, we could be seeing a brain drain here over the next few years. So what can, you know, there are a lot of universities and colleges that are watching what Harvard said and has done. And, of course, they're fearful of losing funding. And what is there any way they can bond together and make a statement, or is that just impossible because they're all so independent of each other?
Well, I think, excuse me, I think one of the things that'll happen is they are going to bond together in terms of legal attacks, and they're going to come back. In many instances, they'll probably use contract law that they had agreements with the government, and the government simply can't unilaterally stop these these agreements. Which brings up another issue or aspect to this, which is, you know, can you trust the government to keep its word? What right does Trump have to break agreements which were inked by previous administrations? But I would think that they'll be the American Association of University Professors. There'll be consortiums that we associate with sports like the Big Ten, the Ivy League, which are going to move in unison. There's one other little aspect of this that we should mention. The Trump administration has said that the letter that prompted all this, the letter from Trump's administration to Harvard, was sent out in error.
Oops.
This is real interesting. This is a real example of blaming the victim. So after these conversations take place between Harvard and the government about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, after all that takes place, what happens is the Trump administration drafts this letter, which was sent to Harvard. Now they're saying it was drafted by a committee which was not given final approval to send the letter. And what's really interesting here is a woman who speaks for the Trump administration on its attack on DEI says Harvard overreacted, that they didn't do the polite thing of first having received the letter, calling to see whether or not it was real.
No.
Instead, they pulled out the guns and they just flatly stood up to the Trump administration. And so now they're blaming the whole thing on Harvard.
Wow, man.
You know, it's like, you know, we put a gun in your face and you decided to resist. And that's your fault.
Unbelievable.
So it'll be interesting this coming days to see whether or not the Trump administration backs off and says, oh, we really didn't mean it.
But they've threatened all the other universities, too.
Stand up to a bully.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, I thought they also, you know, expelled a whole bunch of students and teachers here, pulled their visas, in other words. And I think that this is the pressure they want to put on universities. This is what's happened. And because Harvard resisted, now they're trying to back out of it just a little bit. But still, that DEI thing, they're using it to blame everything on DEI, everything. You know, the Department of Defense banned a whole bunch of books at one of their military schools based on DEI, which is just crazy and insane. So
former
the first woman who went into space out of history.
Yes, that's right. They did. Yes.
Unbelievable. Talking to former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin, and we had another topic we wanted to bring up here, John.
Tone Madison.
Yes.
Tone Madison has it out for you, Paul. They don't necessarily like you very much, and they've called you, amazingly, they have said that you're a conservative at this point because you have opposed everything that Madison is doing at this point under this particular mayor. What is your response to Tone Madison? It seems a little odd and unusual at this point.
Well, what they, you know, what they got, what the author obviously did was cherry pick my position on a couple of issues where I do have some very strong disagreements, not the least of which had to do with the massive increase in property taxes through the referendum last year.
Yeah,
there are things that, are being done that I agree with.
Yep.
At least in some instances, a majority of the council, I'm fully supportive of what's being done with the public market. I'm very pleased to see that something that I worked on and envisioned, the Imagination Center on Madison's East Side, has just been received some very favorable bids for construction. That's going well in what's considered to be a period of austerity for the city. So there, and most of the housing for sure. Some of the changes.
Yeah.
Are I think unnecessarily, shall we say, burdensome, but you know, 90% of it I certainly agree with.
There you go.
So you know, they just selected what they wanted to for the article to try and classify me as a conservative. I've been dealing with this kind of nonsense all of my life, and I made a decision long ago. I'm not going to let somebody else decide what is the progressive agenda. I'm not going to be silenced.
Paul?
Paul,
it's great to talk to you as always. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey. I can see why you're grouchy
in
sometimes, Paul.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's
That's former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. Back in a moment with more of John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I'd like to begin by wishing you all a happy Easter, because this year, especially this year, Easter is on 420. This Sunday, he is risen and you is high. So how did these two sacred holidays fall on the same day? Well, the long answer is Easter always falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon that follows the vernal equinox. You can remember it with this simple rhyme. Full moon before equinox, don't move Jesus's rocks. Equinox before moon, he will rise soon. And also with you. Easter and 420 seemed like a natural pairing, because whoever came up with their Easter traditions was definitely stoned. Okay. No, listen up. This is how we're going to celebrate Jesus being alive again. You know, Jesus. And then there's going to be a rabbit, and he is huge, okay? He wears a bow tie. I don't know why. He's got a bow tie. And he lays eggs, and they're not normal eggs. They're not the normal eggs. They're not the normal eggs you expect to come out of a rabbit. They're like all kinds of colors, and they're filled with chocolate. Also, everything is candied, even the ham.
Yeah, even the ham. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Yeah,
now I want chocolate. Now. Yeah.
Wow, that is crazy.
That's Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. Well, he knows Easter. He talks a lot about religion.
He does. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. Plenty has changed since 1958. Some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct to consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east and west. And you can go to verlo.com for more information. Okay, tomorrow on the show, by the way, Jim Santel will be joining us.
Yes, yes. We'll a lot of legal stuff going on that we need to clear up. You know?
Yes.
All right,
Looking forward to that. Yep.
Okay. I've got a web wisdom here.
Oh, okay.
It's 168.
I was going to say, we need to start learning sign language or something so you can tell me what you're trying to tell me when Gordy's talking.
He's waving his arms over here. I'm trying to distract him.
I know. See, the hand signal thing is a distraction to me, too.
I understand
that.
But
we're looking for cut 168, and what's in cut 168?
Well, that's a web wisdom.
Yes.
And this is very interesting. Some web random, wisdom.
Random wisdom from the web.
It's about Elon, his fear of empathy.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Yeah.
And I just think this is an interesting look at that. Let's check this out.
With all due respect, yeah. Mr. Musk.
Fundamental weakness of Western civilization is empathy.
I think you're completely wrong on this one. As a species, we weren't inherently superior. We weren't the strongest, we weren't the fastest, we didn't handle coal very well, we didn't even have the biggest brains. And yet, we became the dominant species. When it comes to evolution, you know, survival of the fittest, yada yada, scientists generally agree on this. One of the key reasons we won was our ability to feel empathy, to cooperate. This isn't just speculation, it's been studied over and over. Even Google ran research on what makes the most successful teams, and two of the biggest factors were psychological safety and trust. And at Carnegie Mellon University, Professor Anita Williams-Wooley and her team studied hundreds of groups and found a clear pattern. The more empathy a group had, the higher their collective intelligence. So really, Elon, empathy isn't something to worry about. Unless, of course, you're afraid of people being able to think critically and make informed decisions for themselves.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think she was, she played the lead role in a Disney movie. I can't remember which one. That voice.
101 Dalmatians, well, maybe?
It could be.
Carilla, whatever.
Carilla. Yeah.
DeVille.
But she had a nice message right there, you know. And sadly, empathy has always been attacked by MAGAs.
Yes.
Right?
Oh,
I mean, we
yeah.
couldn't have empathy in schools.
Oh, no. No.
I don't know what the hell the deal is on that.
They don't have empathy, you know, they just don't have that gene.
It's not the American way.
Oh,
rugged individualism is the American way.
Yes.
That's right.
Sure.
That's right.
Go with that.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
is there another signal I missed? What?
No, that's fine. It's perfect, yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's go to the economy very quickly here. I think we have very little time left, so I thought maybe legendary investor Charlie Munger had an opinion about what was going on with the Trump presidency, and he trashed him let's listen to this. This is an amazing cut, 149. This is Charlie Munger, investor extraordinaire, and he, you know, so many people knew the convicted felon would make an awful president, and this is just
here
one comment there.
I'm interested in your take when it comes to politics and the economy on Donald Trump. Trump has been all over the media saying he's a hugely successful businessman and would know how to run this country better than it's being run now. He told me that many of the leaders we have right now in government aren't very smart. Would Donald Trump make a strong president?
Well, he might be quite decisive. But do I consider Donald Trump an ideal decision maker or manager of anything? And the answer is no. And the last person almost I'd want to be president of the United States is Donald Trump.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I think he has qualities that make him unsuitable for the office.
Those qualities?
Vainglory. Puffery to a large an extent. I could go on and on.
Feel free.
No.
Okay.
No.
He has a lot of puffery.
He could go
though.
On and on, but yeah. You know, he said that back in 2011 about Donald Trump.
And
yes, he was right.
We could go on and on, but the clock on the wall, you know, it's ticking away. Stephanie Miller is next. Jim Santel joins us tomorrow. We hope you have a great day. John, we'll talk again
thank you.
22
yes.
hours.
I'll try to have a great day.
Yeah, you
those damn rabbits
Sam,
out in my yard, though.
All right. So on.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.